The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Sri Lanka survives a catastrophic cyclone. Assam pivots to innovation to secure global tea leadership. And AVPA awards 161 medals recognizing tea excellence worldwide. Plus, Ditwa Deluge. The legendary resilience of Sri Lanka's tea industry is once again evident this week as the Emerald Isle of the Indian Ocean recovers from Cyclone Ditwa. The cyclone formed in unusually warm water southeast of Sri Lanka. The slow-moving storm, which sustained winds of 45 miles per hour, released 19 to 21 inches of rain over 72 hours, causing landslides in part of the central highlands and severe flooding across a wide area of the 150-mile-wide island, where rainfall exceeded 300 millimeters. That's 12 inches of rain. Joining us today to discuss the storm's impact is Anil Cook, CEO of Asia Siaka Commodities, former chair of the Colombo Brokers Association. It currently serves on the Sri Lanka Tea Board. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Cyclone Ditwa has brought the worst devastation to Sri Lanka in decades, and the tea-growing heartland bore the brunt of it. Over the past week, our correspondents in Uva and the central province have described a landscape transformed, slopes stripped bare, entire valleys reshaped, and once lush tea gardens cut through by deep scars of mud and rock. The human toll is staggering. The National Disaster Management Center lists 410 confirmed dead and 1,800 injured, with 336 still missing, many from hill country plantation communities where worker housing collapsed under massive landslides. At least 10 bridges were damaged and additional disruptions to rail and power networks nationwide. Rescue and relief workers report 15,000 homes destroyed and 200 impassable roads. More than 400,000 Sri Lankan families have been affected, and over 233,000 people remain displaced in emergency shelters. For the tea sector, the damage is immediate and long-term. In Badulla District, especially in Bandawalia, Aptatali, Ila, and Willimata, entire hillsides of mature tea have been wiped out. Some estates have lost 40 to 60% of their standing bushes. Internal estate roads and several smallholder buying centers have been destroyed. State-owned tea factories, however, were largely spared. In Kandy District, where a single highest death toll was recorded, landslides have cut off critical hill routes, leaving factories idle and green leaf stranded. Nuera Eliya has also seen widespread disruption, with slopes destabilized and worker communities displaced. Atali reports severe mud flows and high household destruction. Many estates estimate it will take months to rebuild roads, replant fields, and restore worker housing. Beyond the physical destruction, the social fabric of the tea lands has been deeply shaken. Many workers have lost homes, family members, or both. Labor turnout has collapsed as communities focus on recovery and search efforts. As the situation develops, TBiz will continue on-the-ground reporting. But the message today is clear. Cyclone Ditwa has reshaped Sri Lanka's tea country, and its impact on the global Orthodox market will be felt into 2026. Zahra Afshar, Legal and Human Rights Counsel at Akhmati, commented on the situation in Colombo in this eyewitness report published on LinkedIn.
I'm back in Colombo now, and the rains have stopped. The sun is out. The flooding in the city has gone. But I know that's not the case inland and around the rest of the country. Up country, we're hearing that a lot of the roads have been destroyed by landslides. The tea estates are even more cut off than they were before. Some are even saying that it'll be hard for them to have food, to get access to food. Rations, the electricity and the phone lines have been down for days, and people can't access the tea growing regions because there are just literally no roads going up to the upcountry. So it's going to be a tough couple of months in Sri Lanka, especially in agriculture and farming. A lot of the food has been washed away, crops have been washed away. The tea plantation is a little bit more resilient, obviously, but the new plants have all been washed away, and the soil erosion has been really, really devastating for the estates. Some housing have been washed away. Some of the tea workers' houses have been washed away. So it's hard to really know what the damage is at this stage, but we're really working hard to find out and see how we can help. The phone lines, as I mentioned, are down, so it's gonna take a few days. But I'm not gonna be able to travel to the tea estates, which is really sad. And it's really sad that I was here to witness all of this. But in a way, it's been really insightful for me to really understand the climate conditions, weather patterns, the vulnerability of the region. Take it for granted that tea just appears in our tea bags, but there's a lot that goes into it. And farming is so fragile.
This is Dalanja Silva reporting for TBiz from Sri Lanka. We first felt the effects of Cyclone Ditwa on Thursday. On Thursday, we were working on a renovation at the foothills of Adam's Peak or Suripada, because the pilgrimage season that runs from December to April was a week away, and we were finishing up the last parts of our renovation. And in the morning, one side of the building, the land gave way, it slipped. This is due to almost 3-4 days of constant rain. So we pulled everyone out of the building, we sealed the area off, and at the time we didn't realize what was coming in and what was in store. So we'd spoken to a geologist, he had agreed to come and see us on December 6th, and we stopped work. That night, we were hit with torrential rain, very high wind, which knocked out the power supply, which knocked out the phone lines, and we saw another smaller slip on the other side of the building occur, which went down into the river, and we weren't aware of what was happening island-wide, because we were at the base of Adam's Peak. At one point, we thought that there was a helicopter landing, because that was the sound that we heard. We thought we had a helicopter right overhead of us, but it wasn't. It was actually an extremely large landslide that was triggered 3 kilometers up, and that landslide that triggered 3 kilometers up came down on the other side of the ridgeline into our property, taking out a temporary shop that's set up for the pilgrimage season and wiping out a very large chunk of land. And I think what needs to be emphasized here is that that area of land had zero development on it. That was a large part of it was virgin jungle that hasn't been touched at all. There's no trekking routes up there, so totally untouched. It has just given way. That tells you the sheer weight of water that has fallen in the last few days. From there, we were totally cut off. We'd heard about 3 other landslips that had happened from the town of Nalathania to Maskelia. So there was one at Mohiniella, one at Rakatan, and another one at the junction of Mausakele Brownlow. One of our individuals who works for us, her family's from Badulla, and she had unfortunately lost 2 of her uncles, and a whole village section has disappeared to landslide. Many of our staff in Colombo are actually underwater due to the flooding that that came down from the hill country into the low country, where we've struggled to communicate with everyone across the island because we've had no water. In Nalathani, we have had water, but we haven't had any power. We've had no cell signal, and the cell signal now remains cut off. And as you can imagine, the pilgrimage season that has happened every year religiously has been pushed back. It's the 3rd of December today, as I'm speaking to you, Dan. And today was the day that we were meant to have brought the priests in and settled them into the temple at the top of Adam's Peak. And today was meant to be the start of the pilgrimage season, which is a full moon day. That will not happen. And it's most likely that the season will be delayed for at least, you know, a month, 2 months, if not longer.
TBiz Assam-based correspondent Rupak Goswami filed this report on a new national program that champions quantum secure traceability, speciality handling, and heritage-driven market growth. Dateline, Guwahati. Assam, which produces more than half of India's tea, is positioning itself at the forefront of the global tea industry's next transformation. The government of Assam's Department of Innovation, Incubation, and Startups convened a landmark leadership forum titled Innovation in Assam Tea, Traceability, Heritage, and Global Market Access on November 19th and 20th, signaling a national-level push to modernize India's most storied beverage sector. The event aimed to introduce innovation-led approaches to strengthen Assam's tea global competitiveness. Describing the gathering as a watershed event, Dr. Kavi Kota, Chief Secretary, Government of Assam, said the state must confront climate vulnerabilities, branding gaps, and tightening compliance norms while leveraging emerging free trade agreements, particularly with the UK, to expand premium market share. He stressed the need for unified action across policymakers, research bodies, and industry. Dr. Jeevan Vasavaraj, Secretary of DISS, opened the event by calling for the adoption of technology across the value chain and announced collaboration intentions with the Tea Board of India, CDAC, TRA Toklai, Assam Tourism Development Corporation, and Guwahati Tea Auction Center. Senior central officials presented a unified case for innovation-led sectoral renewal. S. Krishan, Secretary of the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, highlighted quantum-safe digital trust systems under DPIIT Digital India. Rajesh Agarwal, Commerce Secretary, called for GI-based brand narratives to strengthen global perception. Amardeep Singh Bhatia, Secretary of the Department of Promotion of Industry and Internal Trade, assured Startup India and support to tea innovators. And C. Murugan, Deputy Chairman of the Tea Board of India, outlined youth-focused export promotion strategies. The tea industry voices, including Sunil Singh Sikan, Vice Chairman of the Indian Tea Association, emphasized the need for sharper repositioning in international markets. Quantum technology and digital traceability were shown through live demonstrations. A.J. Chowdhury, Chairman of the National Quantum Mission, illustrated how quantum sensors, gravitometers, magnetometers, can enhance plantation precision and soil carbon assessment. Trace X technology demonstrated blockchain trace QR traceability, providing end-to-end transparency for global buyers. And panels led by sector experts, including Sakit Kumar, Joydeep Phukan, Raj Baru, Ishtapreet Singh, Mahatma Venkatesh, and others, addressed digital traceability and data security, export readiness for stricter MRL and sustainability norms, specialty consumption trends in Gen Z formats, and heritage estates as innovation hubs. The emerging consensus was that Assam tea must compete on assurance, value addition, and provenance, not volume alone. The forum witnessed the exchange of four key intents of association, laying the groundwork for long-term technical and market reforms. Number one, quantum-safe digital infrastructure for traceability. Two, tea tourism circuits in Assam. Three, National Tea Innovation Challenge, and 4 export accelerators for Assam tea startups and MSMEs. Taken together, these initiatives aim to future-proof Assam tea against global standards while enabling homegrown innovation. TBiz correspondent Anne-Frédérique Dayrault attended the gala presentation of this year's AVPA Awards. She writes, winners of the International Teas of the World contest gathered in the Peruvian Embassy in Paris this week for a festive presentation of medals. The event, now in its 8th edition, is organized by AVPA, the Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products. Participants this year submitted more than 300 teas and tisanes from 18 countries. AVPA awarded 161 medals, 31 gold, 28 silver, 29 bronze, and 73 gourmet medals, signifying their gastronomic appeal to the French palate. The standout performer in 2025 was Taiwan, which continues to lead the competition's top tier. Taiwan earned 8 gold medals, mainly for high-altitude oolongs and innovative black teas that showcase the island's deep craftsmanship and terroir-driven style. China followed with 4 golds, mainly in the oolong and scented tea categories. In comparison, India secured 3 golds, all from the Darjeeling region, an impressive display focused on first flush, white, and second flush artisanal lots. Regionally, East Asia remains the strongest area by far, with Taiwan, China, Japan, and South Korea collectively winning more than half of all the gold medals. South Asia, led by India, stays competitive, but mostly wins silver and gourmet categories rather than gold. Africa and Latin America, while not receiving top rewards this year, are well represented in the gourmet infusion categories, showing strong growth among small and emerging producers. Director Philippe Juglar expressed, quote, our sincere thanks to the Embassy of Peru in France, especially to His Excellency Ambassador Rolando Ruiz Rosas Cantanario, for their warm hospitality and invaluable support, which played a major role in the success and quality of the event, end quote. The AVPA structure, judging teas according to the gastronomic criteria rather than a traditional origin standard, continues to reward creativity, aroma complexity, balance, and potential for culinary pairing. This year's results underscore a widening field of producers who are treating tea as a crafted specialty product rather than a commodity. Sinia Kasherskaya Hilip, who manages the competition, said the quality of teas entered in the contest continues to improve, both in aroma and technical skill, reflecting increasing expertise and a strong dedication from producers worldwide. Once again, we were excited to welcome outstanding teas and infusions from many countries, showcasing the contest's geographical and cultural diversity. A notable recent development is the participation of 5 new French tea plantations, compared to only 1 in the previous 3 editions. Some even presented multiple teas and received rewards. The black tea from Maison du Breton plantation was even honored with technical jury member Karush Baruska's coup de coeur, indicating the judge's heartfelt favorite. These very small producers are now competing in the big league. Several diplomatic missions attended the event, especially those from Saudi Arabia, Azerbaijan, Brazil, China, South India, South Korea, Portugal, and the United Kingdom, as well as Sri Lanka. Their support underscores the importance placed on sustainable development and promoting small tea producers, and they were the ones who received awards when the producers couldn't attend. The AVPA recognized Karine Baudry, president of the technical jury, and all members of the technical and gastronomic juries. Their expertise, availability, and professional rigor were essential to the success of the 8th edition. Without their skills and dedication, the contest could not have achieved the level of excellence for which it is known, said Juglar. Business Insight. This 8th edition confirms the international tea community's growing commitment and reinforces AVPA's mission to promote high-quality teas from diverse terroir. For the global tea trade, these medals serve as indicators of rising origin, shifting flavor trends, and the premiumization of loose-leaf tea worldwide. And by the way, congratulations, Anne. whose Sanskriti collection teas were awarded 3 gourmet medals. This is the Tea Biz Podcast Tea Price Report for week 48, ending November 28, 2025. Here are the week's tea prices from the world's major tea auctions. In Colombo, prices moved higher again. The weekly average reached $2.11 per kilo, supported by strong interest in bright, high-grown teas. Limited offerings kept the market firm, and Middle Eastern buyers remained active. In South Asia, CTC teas held firm. The weekly average was 183 rupees per kilo, with steady blender demand across Kerala and the Nilgiris. Leaf conditions improved, and packers continued seasonal restocking. At Mombasa, prices softened slightly. BP1 grades averaged $1.87 per kilo, down 2 cents from last week. Higher withdrawals signaled resistance at the top of the market, though warehouse stocks remain below last year's levels. Across origin, input costs continue to shape pricing. Sri Lanka's weak currency, high fertilizer and diesel costs in Kenya, and rising electricity charges in India are all reinforcing firm price floors. Looking ahead, the tone is mixed but stable. Colombo and South India are expected to stay firm into mid-December, while Kenya may fluctuate slightly as Rift Valley output recovers. Year-end packer demand in Gulf and Europe should help overall pricing. That's your tea price report for episode 228, week 48, ending November 28. For expanded coverage, visit www.teajourney.pub and select Tea Biz Price Report. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change. Sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish@nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
The legendary resilience of Sri Lanka's tea industry is once again evident this week as the Emerald Isle of the Indian Ocean recovers from Cyclone Didwa. The cyclone formed in unusually warm water southeast of Sri Lanka. The slow-moving storm, which sustained winds of 45 miles per hour, released 19 to 21 inches of rain over 72 hours, causing landslides in part of the central highlands and severe flooding across a wide area of the 150-mile-wide island, where rainfall exceeded 300 millimeters. That's 12 inches of rain. Joining us today to discuss the storm's impact is Anil Cook, CEO of Asia Siaka Commodities, former chair of the Colombo Brokers Association. It currently serves on the Sri Lanka Tea Board. Thanks for joining us, Anil.
Hello, everyone.
Could you give me a rundown on how last Friday's cyclone affected the tea industry?
Can I start by focusing on what is working in the industry? This cyclone that hit us, it came in from the east and moved across the island and up to the north and traveled towards the South Indian coast. Now, given the uniqueness of Sri Lanka's topography, we had a situation where some parts of the south remained relatively unharmed, even as the winds and the heavy rains lashed out toward the central hill area. None of the tea auction warehouses were harmed. Not a single roof blown away or floodwaters did not reach any of them. So all the tea that is away, cataloged and awaiting sale is safe and dry and ready to go out to the world as the auctions are conducted. So that's an important aspect. And the second is that the auctions are being conducted online. So we have power, we have access to Wi-Fi, and there's been no disruption in terms of the immediate urban areas in which the tea companies are operating in. So out of strategic thinking, the Colombo Tea Traders Association and the Sri Lanka Tea Board decided not to conduct an auction last week, and that auction will be held on Monday. And this means that the full range of teas that were due to be sold are available. At the start, we had issues of lorries not being able to come down due to earth slips and roads being washed away and culverts internally and on the bridges on the main roads being damaged. But that was primarily in the high grown areas. Almost all of the low country remains untouched. There was heavy rain, which slowed down growth and the usual climate-related a disruption to everyday routine. But by and large, the low country teas, which account for more than 60% of national harvest, remains untouched. So as we climb up towards the mid-growths, that is first on the eastern slopes, and then we go on to the western slopes, we found quite a bit of damage to the delivery network. Some of the roads were damaged. And interestingly, none of the tea factories are damaged. So all tea factories are able to resume manufacture because almost all of them have generators and they're capable of manufacture. So those high-grown tea factories that are part of regional plantation companies have an additional advantage where the leaf can move to a neighboring factory within the greater cluster that is within the control of that company. So I'm not saying things are perfect and everything is okay, but it doesn't mean that the tea industry has imploded and everything has come to a grinding halt. It's definitely not the case. And those of you around the world who are waiting for your shipments of Ceylon tea, yes, there will be a disruption because the port closed for a few days when the winds were too strong, and the port has resumed work, and there's a bit of a backlog, and ships are beginning to call on Colombo. I'm not a shipping expert, but I know for sure that cargo is moving out of Sri Lanka to more than 100 countries around the world. So that's the positive side of it. Unfortunately, Sri Lanka has a lot of practice dealing with crisis over the years. So we have organizations that have built-in mechanisms to cope with issues such as this. We've been helping each other. The Tea Traders Association right now, even as we speak, is meeting to plan the next steps to keep this industry going without disruption. And the news that we got last night is that we have decided to have an extra auction in the last week after Christmas. So on the 30th of December, there would be an additional sale that we had not scheduled. That would suck up the volume that was due to go in this week, but and will be available and keep the cash flows going for the tea producers. And then the regular auctions through January would take place. Remember that Sri Lanka is always in season, and the dry, cold weather that comes in on the western side, the western Dimbula quality season, will come in soon in December and going into January all the way to March. So that season will be on track. There's no reason why there should be any disruption to it. Meanwhile, we have to do a lot of work as a country to get our infrastructure back. The roads and for the free movement of goods. And that will take place with the government stepping in. But the stakeholders are up and running, and we are determined to retain the trust and we have with our buyers around the world. And we will deliver as we have in the past.
Tea growers in China last spring and in India this fall experienced similar bouts of torrential rainfall, leading to mudslides and deaths.
Dan, tragically, the number is now reaching 400. There's a similar number unaccounted for. Quite a few of those deaths are in and around tea-growing areas. We had a whole village that went under in a mudslide in the mid-country on the western slopes. And yes, there have been isolated deaths on tea gardens resulting from primarily mudslides and the strong rains. I mean, little creeks turned into massive streams, dragging people away. But one thing that we have that works for these gardens is that a lot of the cottages and so on are on the higher slopes. So if those slopes remained intact, and most of them did, then people were not harmed, and there was the workers were warned in advance, and they've moved out, and they're receiving protection and assistance where necessary. And don't forget, the plantation companies have this superb support system internally. No one's doing business in isolation, so they have the capacity to move resources to where it's needed really quickly. They are moving ahead without waiting for government to come in. There are organized assistance mechanisms in place. They are kicking in. And I think the primary contribution will come from the government in terms of clearing up these roads, so and to overcome the landslides and getting food to all these people. It's not perfect. It's not a beautifully choreographed initiative, but people are being cared for. And I would think that some of these gardens would be getting back into picking their leaves and commencing manufacture sooner than later.
You can help. Donations to the Sri Lanka Red Cross, UNICEF, Sri Lanka, and Sarvaya Sarirama movement directly support shelter, clean water, medical care, and rebuilding in the hardest hit tea districts. The Plantation Human Development Trust is coordinating support for estate workers and housing line communities. Visit redcross.lk, unicef.org/Sri Lanka, or sarvaida.org/donate, or phdt.org.lk. Together, the global tea community can make a difference.
There's been a tremendous outpouring of concern and wishes for our safety. And we've seen the Canadian Tea Association has moved fast to see how they could assist. We know we have friends, but it's time like this that it really matters when we know that people are reaching out. The best thing you can do, I would think, is have one extra cup of pure Ceylon tea. That would get an economy back up.
That I will gladly do. Cheers, Anil. Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.